Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And I want to tell everybody, because of the way the practice sessions are being held with the Dallas Cowboys, we won't have any Saints information from those practices until after 6 o'clock. Kellen Moore, I think it's 6:10, is when he meets with the media. And so after 6, Steve Geller and Charlie will have Deuce on to talk about the practice sessions that were held today with the Dallas Cowboys. And then at 7 o'clock tonight, it'll be the Saints Hour with Mike Hoss, the first edition of the Saints Hour this year. At 4:25 this afternoon, Blake Ruffino, guy's been on our show many times, does a great job for the RU Sirius Sports Network, comes on and talks LSU Tigers. At 5:10, Mo Bud Dean Kleinsmith, the Pro Football Hall of Fame athletic trainer, comes on with us to talk about not necessarily Jordan Tyson, though it's really centered around him, the issues with hamstring problems. And when I talked to him this morning, he was like, hamstring problems, that's been going on since they had leather helmets. So, Charlie, typical Dino, but we'll have him on at 5:10 to talk about the hamstring issues that, man, is really struck with Jordan Tyson. And then at 5:35, Frank Selfo, the head football coach of the Southeastern Lions football team, will join us, and we'll talk about the Lions and, Charlie, a lot of expectations for Southeastern. And, you know, that's a good thing because of, you know, what Frank has been able to do there. And the expectations have been lifted for the Lions each and every year. They're a top 20 team this year again. So we got to talk to Coach Selfo. Glad to have him on. Frank's just a terrific guest. Charlie, one of the things that came out today on NFL stats, and they did this, the average roster age for each NFL team, and they based it off the guys that were in training camp, because you can't do that until really the final cutdown. And remember, for years, the Saints were always kind of at the trail end of that. That's not a lot of difference between the youngest team and the oldest team when you look at it all across the board. It ended up being the Dolphins, the youngest team in the NFL with an average age of 25.2. The Chiefs, and that really surprised me, 25.4 are in the two spot, Titans 25.6, and then Browns, Packers, Raiders, Vikings, and the Jets, the Saints, and the Panthers are all tied. The average age, 25.8 years. So, you know, a lot of times we get texts about, oh, the Saints are an old team. Used to be. Not necessarily the case anymore. This is a fairly young roster. And when you got your average starting age on your team at 25.8, that's a dramatic change from just a few years back. The team with the oldest roster is actually the Commanders, right? Washington. That didn't surprise me. 26.8 years old, which is basically like a year older than the Saints. But, you know, you see, it goes from 25.2, the youngest, to 26.8. That's not a heck of a lot of difference. But the Commanders do have a roster with a lot of older players on that team. And so, but the Saints used to be at the bottom, where we see now the Commanders, the 49ers, the Giants, the Bengals, even the Broncos and Falcons and Rams. Those are kind of the teams with the oldest roster, but there's so little difference. But shows you how much this last year and a half has changed this football team. They've become much younger all across the board.
Yeah, it's the youth movement, Mike. We talked about it a lot throughout the offseason. As far as the Commanders go, Ian Harditz had put this out there. He does great work for RotoWire. The Commanders have the oldest defense as well, at almost 27 years old. entering the season average age of those defenders. But for the Dolphins, they have the youngest offense at under 25, the fourth youngest defense, so there's no shock that they're number one overall. And to the Chiefs, you were surprised about it, but I mean, Coach Spags, Steve Spagnuolo's got the youngest defense in the entire NFL.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
For me.
Think about
you
that.
You would not have guessed that.
Right.
Really wouldn't.
And the Saints, talking about Kellen Moore's impact and bringing in his guys, the Saints have the fifth youngest offense of any team in football. So and the youth movement on that side of the ball, there's still, I guess there's like a couple of albatross type of players, like Cam Jordan's up there in age. He kind of bumps up, you know, the defensive age a little bit because they are the 21st, you know, age defense. But specifically on offense, that's part of the reason why the Saints have a top 10 youngest team in the NFL entering the season.
Absolutely. And the Falcons, who, man, have had a bunch of injuries on the defensive side of football, signed Za'Darius Smith, 1 year, $6 million contract. He has $2 million also that he can earn in incentives. This is a football team that really has been struggling with injuries and also the suspension to James Pierce for 8 games. And you lose Jalen Walker. And they're all about pressure. One thing with Jeff Ulbrich, he is all about putting pressure on the quarterback. We had spoke about this last week that they have more sacks in the NFL last year than any other team in the NFC. And second overall in the NFL. So they've come up with a deal to sign the old veterans, Za'Darius Smith, and nice deal. Looks like he can make himself at least $6 million and maybe a couple more in incentives. But, man, those are two massive losses. When you think half a season, and Deuce and I were talking about this, how long Pierce would get with that suspension. Would it be a full season? Would it be 10? Would it be 8? Sometimes, I mean, that's all hard for me to guess because who knows what the commissioner and what the crew he has around him, what they do with it. But losing him for half the year and then Jalen Walker for the full season. They need some talented edge rushers. And I think Za'Darius Smith still has some football gas left in the tank.
I will say this, though, Mike. In the Falcons are one of those teams I'm looking at early in the season. Because if you look at those first 8 games where you're without James Pierce or without Jalen Walker, we saw how Falcons fans are reacting to, you know, the quarterback play of Tua during their preseason opener and how it was less than stellar against the Broncos this past weekend. The Falcons are one of those teams, I've brought it up before, Mike, I think they could be sunk in the first half of the season, just looking at their schedule. And then if you get to the back half, yes, you have a lot more NFC South games and everything like that, but just going through it week by week by week, I mean, we could be sitting up here, Mike, in week 9, and I would not be shocked at all to see that be a 2-win team. I'm just being completely honest.
I think they'll win more than 2 games. That Bijan Robinson's going to get them a couple wins.
And Drake London's great, too, but yes, quarterback play is an issue for them. Their biggest strength on defense has been completely wiped out. And just look at the schedule. I mean, they don't have an easy, quote-unquote, easy game, really, Mike, until when they play Cleveland. So it's just a really tough situation for Atlanta. And once again, this is kind of, I guess, my hot take entering the year. I would not be shocked at all if during that first half of their campaign they get sunk by the schedule that they're going to be going up against.
Also yesterday, Texas star left tackle Trevor Goolsbee went down with a left knee injury. There were a lot of people in Austin that thought, you know, he might be lost for the year. It's being diagnosed as a bone bruise. His timetable for a return remains to be seen there. I know they want him back on the field in week 2 because you know who they got to play, and that's Ohio State. But the good news is it was not the devastating knee injury that would knock him out the entire season. Trevor Goolsbee, I think, will end up being a top 10 pick in this draft. He is a really good pass protector. I like to see him become a little bit more physical as a run blocker and finish off his blocks, but he's really one of the star offensive linemen in college football. And again, with the bone bruise, we'll see how long it takes him to come back from that. I knew he'll get great care. Man, you go to Texas, it's Taj Mahal as far as taking care of. They're in Oregon, man. They really do a great, great job rehabbing their players there. But that was a big scare to Texas to have Goolsbee go down. And the way he did, a lot of people covering the team thought it would maybe be in the worst case scenario, but looks as though he'll be back sometime early in the season now. Again, LSU didn't play Texas till late. I'm sure Goosby will be back by then. Also, there's a couple of reports that the Saints have worked out Chase Claypool, former second-round pick wide receiver from Notre Dame. Man, he looks the part. You're talking about a dude that's huge. He's 6 foot four and a half, 230 pounds. He had a from University of Notre Dame, Canadian, came down here, really made a big impact for the Irish, and had a tremendous rookie season for Pittsburgh back in 2020, where he caught 62 passes. Nine of them went for touchdowns. He averaged 14.1 yards a catch. The next year, it sort of dropped off a little bit, 59 catches, 14.6, only two touchdowns. But since then, he's went Pittsburgh, Chicago, Miami in a very short period of time. Something there is sort of missing with Chase Claypool, because he was a guy that you saw him as a rookie. You say, wow, that guy is a big-time player. It just never built on that at all. Looks as though he's worked out for the Saints and a few other teams. But you talk about a 6 foot four and a half, 230-pound receiver. How many of them cats they got walking around this world? Very few. But he's something physically is not quite right with Chase Claypool. Just with those type numbers early and that type size and athletic ability, it just has not been able to click from him. Other than the 2020 season. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. Before we go to Blake Ruffino, the boys out in California, let us know that running backs Kendra Miller and Devin Neal are practicing today. We'll get more information about the practice sessions in the 6 o'clock hour with Deuce McAllister, but good news that both Kendra Miller, Devin Neal back on the practice field. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line and bring in the founder, CEO of Are You Serious Sports Network, Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Mike. I haven't been trying to avoid you the last 2 weeks. It's just, you know, Charmin football, Lane mixing up my times every now and then on days we can and can't be out there. So I'm glad to be here with you today.
Blake, is that time during fall practice where, man, everybody's tired as hell. And I think one thing with Coach Kiffin, he's sort of testing them now. Okay, you guys think you're tough and you came in here in great shape. We're going to test you just how great a shape you in. And I think it's that time of the year where for some guys it's like, man, I done hit the wall because it's hot, it's humid, and you getting new things thrown at you because it's a new regime. And so how has that affected the practice that you've been able to see? I know you don't get to see the entire practices, but from what you've been able to see, because, man, I know when it gets to that halfway point a little bit more, man, you hear the huffing and puffing.
Yeah, I think for me, whether it's us being there or some of the things coming out of the scrimmage or, Mike, whatever it may be, I do think that this is the toughest point for them. This is the toughest week, Mike, you know, because this is a little bit past the halfway point. I do think that they are looking forward to tomorrow's quote-unquote walkthrough, which, by the way, I'd never heard of the walkthroughs that Lane Kiffin goes through in reference to, you know, Mike, I'm hearing that, you know, last week there was a three-hour walkthrough or two-and-a-half-hour walkthrough, whatever it is, you know, 195 plays running a walkthrough. Regardless of that, It is getting tough. And Mike, here's the good thing about Lane. I think that there are two personas of him, as you and I have been discussing. The off the field that everybody gets enamored with, but then they don't see the on the field and what we see at practice. And I think that if you slip up and you don't give 100% effort, your job will be taken. And Mike, I'm not so convinced right now at receiver. That hasn't happened to some extent. I'm not completely sold in my mind that that has not happened along the interior of the defensive line, good or bad. And so I just think that if you don't go out there, if you're an LSU football player today and you don't go through this toughness, your spot's going to get took. And so I say it like that just to say that I think that a lot of people coming out of this scrimmage learned that. They learned it in practice on Monday. Mike, I fully anticipate when we go out there at 6:30 tonight, they will do it again. And so, like, he is just going to play the dudes that are mentally tough and ready to go. So I don't know if that's the best way to answer your question, but if you're asking me, hey, Blake, 50,000-foot overview, what have you seen? It's more like, Mike, they're going to put in the dudes that are going to help them to win, and they don't care about anything else. They don't care about your mama. They don't care about your daddy. They don't care about how much money you make. If you are not going to give 100% effort, you're not going to play. And, Mike, I think that those two positions I just mentioned are probably the biggest two in there that I've noticed and how they just kind of overall run things.
Deuce was telling me this last week that at Ole Miss, it's like, because, you know, we talked about all the new receivers coming in, and it's like 9 or 10, 11 guys out there playing receiver. And he's like, Mike, I'll be honest with you. At Ole Miss, he normally would play 4 to 5 receivers. And he said 5 being the most. Mm-hmm. He didn't really stretch it beyond 5. So if you looked at it today, who would you think would be those 5 wideouts?
Yeah, this is in no specific order. Eugene Wilson will play if healthy, Mike. Let's knock on wood. Let's go light a candle at our local Catholic church. Jace Brown will be a part of that. Winnie Watkins. I do think that Jackson Harris, Mike, you know, look, he's going to have to get some conditioning under his belt, okay? You can't run this offense if you're not conditioned. And, Mike, I think there's a fight for that fifth. You know, I got to give Phillip Wright a lot of credit here, Mike. I mean, he has done some amazing things. He has done things that I think that have surprised me. And look, not so much in the pass game. I think a big thing for him that has set him apart, you know, talking about the scrimmage, Mike, LSU posted this video, so it's okay to talk about, I guess. The long run from Harlan Berry, it doesn't get sprung without that big block by Phillip Wright. And so I think that just doing the little things right for him very well might get him in that game early in the season and get him some playing time. I do think there's a fight between a lot of guys for, you know, a fifth rotational spot because, Mike, here's another thing, too. I don't know what they're doing at top. Well, let's rephrase that differently. I don't know how they're going to line up Tre'Davious Green in reference to what they want to do. And what do I mean by that? I think, Mike, that there are going to be certain formations and certain situations where in a typical just lineup formation, you would consider him a receiver, you know, or at least on paper to some extent. So I don't know if you throw him in there or how you want to utilize him. How do you utilize Malachi or Zach Grace, which, by the way, Mike, I don't know if Zach Grace is going to play in some of these run formations. I think it just depends. But in reference to receiver, I think those are your 5 right now. I don't know if Trey Brown is, you know, overtaking Phillip Wright. And Mike, to be completely blunt with you, I don't know if Phillip Wright hasn't moved himself into more of that fourth overall role. And a lot of guys are just battling it out. And I think, again, that's that position that, hey, look, man, you had Jace Brown with Winnie Watkins going down who had massive days. Mike, we have a segment on our YouTube channel that talked about the 2 days that he had, so people can go check that out. I just think that those will probably be the 5. I would be lying if I told you, if you asked me right now, Mike, Blake, who are the 5 right now that are 3 right now that start against Clemson, I would say Larry, Curley, and Moe because I have no idea.
One thing I'm willing to bet you a really nice dinner on, you don't see Tre'Davious close to that line of scrimmage. They're going to flank him. His butt out. Man, I ain't getting him close to the line. I'm flanking him out.
Well, Supper Club on you is all I heard. But regardless, you're right. I mean, Mike, you've been in this game a long time. I mean, I don't know how you clarify him. You know, because he's not in a traditional slot in some of these situations. right? Like, I mean, he is and he's not. And so, again, that's why I mentioned Zach Grace. Mike, what's Zach Grace doing with ones? I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, I got a public school education, but, you know, I don't think I'm that dumb. So, again, I just look at him and say, Mike, how do you clarify him? I mean, when you have a Trips Wright situation, again, this is their video, so I'll use this. When you have a Trips Wright situation and he's not the slot guy, he's in between two other dudes, what would you clarify him as? So, again, are they using that as a formation to clear him out, to get him through the middle and clear things out? I don't know. Lane's a master and Charlie's a master at that. But, again, Mike, I think they're going to be very unique with him. I think Zach Grace, Malachi Thomas have a very big chance to play a lot here, depending on how they want to utilize Trey Dez. But, again, I don't know. I'd be lying if I told you. But even to some extent on the boundary, you know, Mike, there was a formation during the spring where they went diamond right, Trey Dez left. I mean, it's the same thing that Sloan ran, but what do you do? I mean, there's not a lot of options that you can do with somebody that size.
Yeah, and I think you can use him certainly a lot of different ways. And that one wide out and sort of banking on the other side, you're going to draw coverage. Trey Dez's going to draw coverage no matter what. But if you got him outside, just one cat, man, they're going to have a host of people trying to cover him. I'm not going to say double team all the time, but he's going to be bracketed. They're not going to put one-on-one on him because you're not going to be able to cover him because of his size and his athletic skills. On defensive line, you brought up about the rotation up front and how the young kids now, you know, you're going to have to use them one way or another. I tell you the story. Mm-hmm. Coach O has always mentioned to me, no matter where he's always been a guy that wants to rotate 8 to 9 guys. And the reasoning is those last 5 minutes. He's been a stickler on that. That is where you're going to settle the game. And now today, even more than ever, having those fresh guys out there. And Ross has missed some time with an injury, correct?
Jordan Ross, yes.
And so how that's going to look up front also, and I think they're trying to find what's the best spot to play these young guys, because not all of them are going to be the pass rushers. Not all of them may be great against the run, but there are going to be kind of – times where you're going to have to spot them in there one way or another, and can they hold up? I think that's the learning curve here for these freshman defensive linemen.
Yeah, and look, Mike, from what I've seen, look, we've talked about this interior defensive line probably the most of any position this fall. I just don't know because there are plays that Richard – I mean, look, I don't know how else to say it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think that there have been plays this fall, there were plays this spring where I think that I'm watching Richard Anderson and I'm like, that's an All-American. There are also situations, Mike, as a young player, that it becomes very boom or bust that he's out of position and long runs start happening. And so it's going to be very apparent for LSU that some of these upperclassmen find a way to hold some things down as these guys learn. Now, I don't know, you know, Mike, they've just rotated so much there. You know, whether it's the freshman and Anderson and Gerald's, whether it's Steph Green or Malik Blockton, and even to some extent, Mike Don McKinley. There's never been a day where I go out there and I'm like, oh, here we go again. You know, like, I mean, there's so much mix up there. So, again, I wish I could tell you that I knew. I just think that they are not playing around in reference to if you have a good day, you'll play. If you don't, you won't. And so that has been my overall theme on them. I do think that Steph Green has been a lot better, Mike, than maybe I anticipated to some extent. But at the same time, there's just been a lot of fighting good, meaning fighting for position there. And Mike, if Richard Anderson can figure some things out quick, I don't know how you don't play him. I'm sorry, but you might just have to live with some of the inexperience because when he creates havoc, I mean, he creates havoc. Again, talking about that LSU video, Mike, he's a half an inch away from a quick slant throw and breaking it down and bopping it down. So, again, those are the situations that you keep seeing with him, and this kid's a flat-out baller, man. So it would not be surprising to me if through the first month of the season that 88's not a starter. I'm dead serious.
One of the things that have come out have been the accuracy skills of Hassan Longstreet, the backup mm-hmm. quarterback. And hopefully Sam Leavitt stays healthy and that sort of thing. But to have a guy who has, I think, for a lot of observers at LSU, coaching-wise, they really didn't know a lot about him. They really rave about how quickly he has picked this up. His accuracy skills, mm-hmm. and I had a conversation with one of the coaches, and he was like, hey, if you think, the guy at Ole Miss, Chambliss, is short, wait till you see Hassan. Okay, mm-hmm. he's not built like him, but it was like, whoa, man, can he throw a football, and it is accurate and right on the money. Has that been what you've been able to see?
A little bit. Again, very boom or bust with him. Mike, he starts off really slow and then picks up. Would I say that he has had the best week as an LSU Tiger this last week? Yes. I still think some decision-making, Mike, needs to be a little bit better. He did throw that interception that was posted. But I think that if you told me that he had the highest up ceiling in that room, I think you would be right. He can do a lot of really good things, and he has the chance to be special. Him and Jack Marucci have worked on that throwing motion. Mike, it's even different from 2 weeks ago, and it has helped him be a lot more accurate, and he's starting to become deadly with it, yes.
When you look at the way they're using Harlan Berry, and Coach Kiffin brought it up during the press conference, running a more mm-hmm. physical style, I do think they're going to move Harlan kind of across the board. I would certainly put him in the slot at times because of the mismatch mm-hmm. you can get with Harlan Berry. But I think he's trying to tell you something here on why maybe Dylan Jones has the upgrade over the two. More physical runner in Dylan Jones. And I think that's come across to Harlan that, hey, even if you get a couple yards, you got to punch it up in there. But his ability mm-hmm. to catch the ball coming out of the backfield – and we didn't see a ton of that last year. I think we're going to see quite a bit of that this year.
Oh, you're going to see it. Mike, here's a hot take for you. I don't know if Harlan Berry, even if he's not a starter, doesn't lead the SEC in receptions. Like, at the running back position. So I don't know that. I think you're right on the money there. I think they're going to utilize him in a lot of different spots and situations. I think they're going to throw him the ball a lot. I think they're going to be very creative with him. You talk about that slot position. So, Lane Kiffin, if you're listening, Mike, the TA said it, not me.
he can call me. I'm good. Hey, I've been married a long time. I've been chewed up before.
Well, he ain't going to do that because, they are posting him. But you're right. But, Mike, he has been a lot more physical. He has kind of picked it up a lot. I do think it's going to be him and Jones, but – Mike, again, I think Lane does salivate at the idea of how they want to utilize him. Again, I talked about this during the spring, Mike, we were at a team period. They threw in the ball five straight times. One was in from him in the slot. So you're not wrong. I mean, if they're entertaining it then, they're not BSing us. So I think that is going to happen. I do think he's gotten a little bit more physical in the run game. The only thing that I would say that I have seen personally with him is, Mike, they're just doing a lot more outside zones than inside, and he's able to pick a spot and hit the hole. Instead of him just trying to pound it in, let him find a crease, let him get north and south, and let him go. But in reference to throwing him the football, they're going to do that a lot. And I wouldn't be surprised, Mike, if you don't see something a little bit intriguing with him in certain situations.
Okay. Blake, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Always great information. Love when you come on with us, and keep doing what you're doing, brother. Is you clicking it out one day at a
Mike,
time.
Thank you. Hey man, Hydrate Gate is real. I almost fainted the other day. It's 100 degrees out there. My big butt my big butt was sweating. So I'm glad that we're here, though, Mike. It's been good. Thanks, as always, for having me.
Thanks so much. Blake Ruffino does a great job with the Are You Serious Network covering the LSU football Tigers. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dottie along with Charlie Long. Hey, we all know Saints training camp. Hey, it's in full swing, and it's all given to you by Rouse's Markets. Who Dat Nation, training camp is free of charge. Capacity is limited. And all but one practice is completely sold out. So the practice on Wednesday, August 26th at Tulane's Yuman Stadium, hey, you can reserve training camp tickets now by going online at NewOrleansSaints.com. Also, a little nugget here. We talked about it in the first break we did, that the Saints have worked out veteran wide receiver Chase Claypool. They've also worked out veteran Josh Reynolds, another big, tall receiver. So they seemingly have someone in mind that they want to bring into camp and see if he can upgrade that wide receiver position, which we thought was sort of overloaded to begin with. But it looks as though the Jordan Tyson injury has changed their minds on that. So Saints worked out today, Chase Claypool and veteran wide receiver Josh Reynolds. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. I want to thank Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious Network for joining us to talk about the Tigers and their practice sessions. And like I said, this time of the practice is in the fall, man, you hit that wall. I don't care how tough you are. You hit it. That heat and humidity gets to you. At 5:10 on Sports Talk, we'll have on with us the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame trainer Dean Kleinsmith will come on with us to talk about injuries and specifically the hamstring injury. And at 5:35, the head football coach of the Southeastern Lions, Selfo, will join us to talk about them. Again, rated in the top 20. And every year, I know coaches say it doesn't matter, but I think it makes you feel good. People recognize how good you are. A few nuggets from the boys out in California. Wide receiver Devon Vele and defensive tackle Christian Miller, who we saw, he really played well when he was in the game and then he banged up his shoulder, are out of uniform in Oxnard. So they're not practicing. Also not practicing today, Audric Estime, the running back. So, man, it gives some openings there for some of the younger guys. Hey, with these, guys not in the lineup, gives me my opportunity to see more reps, see more playing time, and it's about opportunity. Now you got to grasp it at this point. You can't let those opportunities slip away. It doesn't matter how you get your chance. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.